Next item on the agenda, request for approval of the 2010 Oyster Replenishment Program and the associated procurement procedures.
The if you look on the first page of your plan, the most obvious thing there, and what we'll be talking through on here, is that because of all the budget cuts we've been through, there's no general funds this year for oyster restoration. There's efforts going on in General Assembly to try to get some of it restored, but at this point, you know, who knows whether there'll be anything done, but the problems that we're having is that there is no money for it. We can't do seed because that would have to be state money. We'll very unlikely not have enough money to do the house shells. The house shells, I have worked out with Maryland that should we not come up with enough funds to do them, that they will buy them all, but that's okay for the direct commodity cost of that shell, but for the industry people that both sell us the shell and do restoration boards, it's a loss for them because they don't get to use their boats to do the work for us to do the shell planting. And it's basically sending out a resource to another state to be in competition with you. So there are bigger ramifications to the loss of the general funds than just losing money to do orchard restoration. If you look at the form, the first page, you see the flip side of that is we have a lot of money this year, more than normal, but it's all federal money, and the federal money comes with a lot of stipulations that, just like what we're talking about now from the FDA, that if you take their money, that you have to do things that they're setting up. And I mean, they don't give you choices. They say, we'll give you this money, but you've got to provide us a plan to use it in the way that we want to see it used. So just starting off at the beginning, to deal with the seed issue, I mean, there's no money for seed. But as we've told you the past couple of years, we've been trying to follow what's happened to the seed that we planted in the bay because the Blue Ribbon Panel had asked us to do that to try to get cost benefit. And I just put this up to show you, you know, what it's looking like at this point. And if you look across and just each of these lines is an area where we planted a seed. And as an example, this is an area in the Rappahannock where we put 6,173 bushels and we got 2,232 back. And just based on the sale of those oysters at the dock to see how well we're doing. And generally, the rays either find them or they don't. And if the rays find them, I mean, we had some excellent ones. I mean, like this one in Nomni, we got three bushels back. This one in the cone, we got three bushels back. But, you know, at the same time, you have ones where you didn't even get a half a bushel back for a bushel of seeds you put down. And it was all pretty much rays. And sometimes rays get them all. Sometimes they just work on them severely. But in the final analysis, we're at about $1.37 back at the dock from every dollar that we put overboard for seed orchards. For seed this year, we are, what we've done in a number of years, and we're going to do it again this year, is that we have some seed available in the Piang tank. It's not a great count. It's 400 to 500 count per bushel. And we let the industry come in and catch the seed there. We set a quota on it, and we use certain of the bars there. And for every bushel that they take out, they either pay us back for the cost to replant shells or they replant the shells themselves late in the summer. So we'll continue with that activity. But we're also doing the cost benefit of shells in general. And we've been kind of behind on getting our harvest entered the past several years, but we've caught up a little bit now. And just looking at 2006, 7, and 8, the harvest that we had, our total market harvest is staying right at 100,000 or a little bit more. And that's, the reporting is not great, but that is almost twice the level that we were at, say, 5 years ago. I mean, something we're doing seems to be getting us into a higher level and we're staying there year after year now. So hopefully the management things that we're doing that seem like to some people that they don't make any sense are working to keep our harvest stabilized. But if you look at just shell planting, and you look at shell planting and not count what we put on sanctuary that we're required to do for some of these grants, and you only look at the shell planting that we do for harvest areas, we're actually doing very well. I mean, we're averaging for over all three of the last 3 years that we're getting $4 back for every bushel of shell that we plant on these harvest areas. So that's actually a pretty good return, and that's a return before it goes any kind of multiplier through that the economists would look at. So our shell planting is actually making money for the state and keeping an industry going. The first project that's on there that's a federal project is we have funds from NOAA to do a restoration project in the York River. The green there is the public grounds. This is, if you go across the York River Bridge and you just look up towards West Point, you can just see the farthest one, but you can see this one pretty easy. And what the purple is we have pre-surveyed, and these are areas that still have some shell left and are still would be worth doing restoration on. We wouldn't want to do areas that are mud or just bald sand. These are areas that has a good starting place. And we've got about $1 million, a little bit more than $1 million to do restoration in those areas. Unfortunately, and all that purple area there is about 350 or 400 acres, and we only have enough money to do 90 acres out of that area. But the feds are requiring that in order to do this, 60 acres are sanctuary, 30 acres are harvest areas. So it's actually losing, it's doing restoration, but it's losing areas from the area that they can harvest. We also have a project with the same money, and just the one of the things that we are doing in the York, just before I leave it, is that because we have several projects that we're doing, that and one of them requires using dred shells, the fossil shells that we get in the James River, we have to do the York River for fossil shells also. And I'll explain that as we go on. But when we dredge fossil shells in the James River, this is a picture of it working up at Kings Mill. You see we're using old shells in the bottom of the James. They go up through this machine and they're sorted and cleaned and separated into two sizes, and then the barges come in and we replant the areas, and that's what we'll be doing in the York River. In the Piangatang, we've also gotten money from NOAA, and they are at least buying in at this point to the fact that the Piangatang, since we have right now the Great Wicomico is closed to harvest, we can't afford to lose our other seed area. And they're going to give us funds. They're going to let us use some of their funds to keep these seed beds in the Piangatang in good shape for hopefully better fat sets down the road, like we're seeing in the Great Wicomico and some of the places. And we have about $300,000 to go for that. Also have about $50,000 to go for sanctuary areas in the Rappahannock. But in all those three, there are NOAA funds, and they're pretty much restricted on what we can do. In the Piangatang, at least if areas go on areas that we harvest, and we'll pick the areas in the Piangatang based on our stock assessment, and we'll add shell to the areas that have the least shell, along with doing some adding some shell on those yellow areas that are the three-dimensional reefs that have been built in the Piangatang for years to try to get them back in shape. Now, this is probably the most interesting restoration project that we got going, and that's on Seaside. For years, there hasn't been a shucking house on Seaside, except for just a couple little backyard things, and any shell for us to use to do restoration. Seaside's intertidal. When we put shell out, we've got to take these areas that you can see the little bits of shell, and we have to make them back so that they're good for catching oyster larvae, and we do that by putting shell. We work with the Old Dominion University to help us develop a little boat that would catch shells on Seaside that are We have some deposits in certain areas that are fossil deposits that are right on top of the bottom. The best area we have is like right at the tip of Wreck Island, which if you've ever been out there, the island is almost all made of shell. But this little contraption here is just a bigger version of a clam dredge, and it goes along the bottom, and with those jets it washes up the shells onto the conveyor belt, and they go into little barges that then we can take out and plant. And we have another guy that works for us, and he just uses a conventional dredge to work on the same site. But these two little boats are all basically we've had to do restoration on for Seaside the entire time I've been at VMRC. We've just not had any shell source. And if we could do 100,000 bushels in a year, it's a real big year for Seaside. And they're planted in these little monitors. For this year, since we've been working with the Nature Conservancy and VIMS, and you know we've been doing the eelgrass, and we've been doing bush restoration, they actually put an application in for the stimulus grant, and we were lucky enough to get a stimulus grant. And the biggest part of it is to do oyster restoration. We have about $1.2 million for oyster restoration on Seaside. Since we don't have shells available out there, the only place we can get shells are these same places in the James River. And this is what's going to be the high degree of difficulty for this year, is that these barges that work great in the bay are going to have to go from the James River into these little teeny guts on Seaside. And just looking at this, you can see as an example coming in Watch Brig, we are assuming based on checking these tracks out that the big barge can come in with the tug and it can get as far as that little red dot. At that red dot, these barges will be offloaded with an excavator onto the same little planting barges that we're used to using, the ones that carry 1,000 bushels at a time, even though we'll be bringing barges in that carry 20,000. And as Ernie just mentioned, you got to remember on the Seaside, we're working on tides. So we are scheduling to be able to unload two of these big barges a week using the small equipment and planting them, working around the tide. So every 3 days, we've got to turn these 20,000 bushel barges over. And the reason that we have to use the shells in the York River, the same kind of shells, is that the dredger will need something else to do while he waits for these barges to come back from Seaside. And he can be working in the York River for us at the same time and be keeping his crew in the dredge working and the tugboats working on the days that we're in there trying to plant these areas. So this is we're probably going to get a lot of press on this activity because it's going to be something people haven't seen before, see these big barges coming into Seaside and getting offloaded and replanting these areas. That's just a blow up of what that one looked up there in Watch Brig. Now, because this is a one shot deal, we got this. We'll probably get about 300,000 bushels of a shell or 400,000 bushels of shell. Not sure exactly how the bid's going to come in yet. On Seaside and maybe get 25 acres done there. But looking down the road, we still don't have any shell on Seaside. And if you remember, like 3 years ago, we worked with the Nature Conservancy on some reef balls on Seaside that we did at Smith Island and out for us in Magothi Bay. And those were heavy, and they've done real good. We've gotten a good set on them. But for using volunteers, they were too big for them. They weighed about 60 or 70 pounds. They were hard to get them out in the field. And this is a design that's called Reef Castles that somebody has come up with, actually in Charlottesville, because they built the first ones for us and saw the hard time we had with them. And so we're going to be testing a deployment of these where these are just interlocking little blocks. You can see it, you have in your thing, other picture of it. But each one of these is a block, and they just mesh together and they lock. And you can see that, this is how good they look after 6 months. Just they strike, and you don't even know that the that there's any sort of block there. And again, it's a ecological restoration, but for Seaside and the amount of shell we have, it's, you know, it's a good thing for volunteers to be doing. So we have three areas that we're working through the permitting process right now to try sets of these. So, any questions?
Questions of Dr. Wesson? Thank you, Jim. What?
I don't know if you want to take any public comment, but the main thing you have to do for me is to approve my procurement methods at the end of, if you want to listen to comments.
Sure. Anybody want to make any comments on the Oyster Plan?
Yeah, I'd like to speak shortly again.
Commission board members, I've worked up York River this year, and I've worked from the bridge all the way down these areas. It's a plenty of shells up there. We don't need any shells there. We don't need the Corps of Engineers taking it from us. It's a lot of little oysters. It's a lot of medium oysters. Most of the 3-inch oysters there this year were 3 1/4. They weren't like they are in Vajack, about 1/4 inch too short, which is we've had a lot of trouble with. They only got like 30 or 40 acres open in Vajack, where I feel that if these shells would be taken to Mobject Bay instead of York River, would be a lot better for the watermen and give us a lot more area to work and stuff. Leave the shells and strike alone in York River, let it grow. It's going to be oysters there for next year. It's going to be oysters there for the year after because the size of the strike and the oysters there. Some of the guys did all right that stayed there while the other areas was open. Some of us worked in Mobject. This last month, Mobject and York River was the only place we had to go, and that's the only thing that we had to save us to pay our household bills and keep us going from not being put outside with a lot of Americans being done right now by losing jobs and stuff. I personally recommend to staff that to leave York River alone. Let's look at somewhere in Mobject Bay where we've had success with the shells that we put over from the Corps of Engineers. We've had 2 or 3 good years. It's a lot of little strike in Mobject, and it's a lot of good strike, and it's a good future. And it's not as much strike up York River as it is in Mobject, and you put the shells there to get strike. I think it'd be a wise decision to put the shells in Mobject, leave York River alone for us to work. In the later part of the season next year, it's going to be some oysters there. They're going to pay, in this paper here, it said $50,000 just to dredge the grounds off. And then $100,000 to put it back. That's a lot of money being spent. There's somewhere that's just coming back. This is the first time in a long time that we've been able to work in York River and get oysters and make a piece of day's work. And the piece of day's work came at a time where it was well needed because all the other oyster rocks have been sort of caught up and there's not much there. I feel that this would be a bad decision to put the shells in York River and highly recommend finding a place like we did 4 or 5 years ago at Pulse's Bar and Toe Steak, which has been real successful with a strike, and make those areas a little bit bigger, but we'll have more places to work and we'll be put between a rock and a hard spot and have this friction that's going on between the watermen and VMRC and the people smuggling little ones and doing all that, which is a lot of nonsense that could be worked out to where it wouldn't be as much trouble with the Marine Patrol officers or the watermen. And this is the problem that could be worked out that's not really getting addressed properly because the watermen don't want to come down here. And then other issues where we try to talk about it and the conversation just never gets to where it started or finished. And,
Thank you, sir. Let me ask a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask a question to Jim.
Okay.
It's my understanding, there's no money from the state. So the only money we have is what you've got listed here. And in this, the case that Ken's talking about, we've got some money for the York River, got $1.2 million. But we don't have any money for Mobject. So we don't have any flexibility where that $1.2 million goes, do we, or don't we?
Well, I think he's asking us to switch the project in total. And when we looked at this, I mean, we took that into account. It's a very hard thing to explain at times, but there are shells and then there are shells. And Mobjack was in the same place in 2006 with the shells being very, or even though there was shell there where we put these new shells, they rarely got a set, and or maybe they were getting a set, and because the shells are so punky and pithy that there are animals that can kill the spat before we ever see them. And that's the situation that we think it is in the York right now. Even though there are a lot of shells, they are they're in bad shape. And if you pick them up, they got a lot of boring sponge in them. And we would like to revitalize the York like we revitalized the Start and the Mobjack. And I wish there was money. I mean, we actually put a stimulus grant proposal in for doing Mobjack and for doing the York and for doing the James River as a jobs issue to try to get more of these areas to rotate to have a harvest for people, but it didn't rank out very high in the selection process, and this is just normal NOAA funds that we're working here that come down through an earmark because we didn't get the stimulus money. And this is one of the areas that we identified in the stimulus money, and when we went into it, we really thought that they were going to be reasonable on this and at the very least give us 50-50 harvest in closed areas. And they've come down very hard on the two for one. But I think we're in a spot where, because now we're starting to collect more information on how well we're doing on the harvest areas when we put shell out, that I'm hoping that 2 or 3 years from now, as this place develops, and I think we'll get a good set there on these areas just like we did in Mobjack, that we may be able to talk them into actually having a bigger area, because they like the fact that we're doing this rotation harvest, but it'll be very hard for us to rotate 30 acres. I mean, we need the entire area to rotate in order to get any benefit from the rotation process. So, and we are not, I mean, we are paying, and every project that we've done that since back in the Orchard Heritage Program in 1999, when we do these big projects, we pay watermen to go clean the area off before we start, so that if we have a few spat and a few live orchards there, we get them out of the way, it gives the watermen something to do, and they put them on another area that actually will be available for harvest next year. We don't hurt them. We just move them to a different area, and then we go put the shell in that spot. So we're not covering up things. I think the shells, I mean, the Mobjack, because it has 400 acres in there of good bottom. You know, if we can see that we get a good response from putting these shells out, we have a lot of area to expand there, just like we had a lot of area to expand in the Rappahannock that you wouldn't necessarily have in Mobjack. So,
I mean, can I ask you a question?
This is our best.
Yeah.
We feel like our best shot.
That was my understanding.
I mean, if I had an unlimited amount of money, I would do this in the Lower James, but they did not give us enough money to do that. So.
Further questions?
Can I make one more short comment?
One more comment, that'll be fine, because we're not. This is not a this.
Yeah, I understand that.
Then but, Mr. Jenkins.
What I'd like to say about York River, it's just been open the last couple of years, okay. And we're just now turning shells. And what the dredge has turned over is where the strike is coming back. So what we're doing is doing good work in it. That's showing that the places that have been closed up are getting cultivated, and it is showing a progress and a future for us. They're going to dredge these off and move them, take a chance of killing them, piling them up in a pile, smothering them. And what is living is probably 50% of them is going to die. And he's talking about giving the money back to the watermen. That's going to about 4 packing houses who have large boats. The 40-foot work boats aren't getting any of this. It's basically going to leave it to about $54,000 to go to 3 people that are getting the gravy of the marine replenishing work, and we're not getting any of it.
Okay.
And I think we need to start getting a little bit back to the working watermen instead of the packers who will be getting the money for doing all that work.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Jenkins?
I'll be very brief. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Can you make a motion?
No, sir. I sure can't. Because there are times that I wish that I could.
Maybe I can get Mr. Chick and Mr. Fox to second it. I was here earlier, you know. All of this stuff, I still don't see tributaries of Potomac. And if we harvest 100,000 bushels this year, there should be $50,000 in the kitty of oyster replenishment tax.
Jim, can you respond to that?
I'd like to finish my...
Well, I'm sorry. That's...
I haven't finished it yet.
I wanted to get your answer.
Since all these other people are going to know and stimulus fund on the Eastern Shore, all these others are having funds and doing restoration. And we're not going to get any money in the general funds. I'd like to see that amount of money spent in taking 10 acres of plenty of horses down the Great Wicomico and putting seed up in the Nominee Yocomico cone. We're part of Virginia is just as much as the rest of the area is. We pay our taxes in Virginia. We're citizens of Virginia, and we vote in Virginia. The oysters that came out of Nominee was, the waterman got $40 a bushel for them. And I took a bushel home and shucked it. And the Ernie Bowman can tell you, and maybe Mr. Shakespeare and him will tell you, they shook 10 pints dry over the bushel. Now, the oyster packer, time the product got to the people, that oyster was valued at about $120 a bushel. Now, I'm not saying the buyers got that much because they got little slack tubs because the man was there buying. He gets paid for how many tubs he takes to the packer. I'm not trying to exaggerate or you know, accuse anybody of anything, but I paid my tax 50 cents on the bushel I took home. Jim Weston got it in the skit. And I know what to show. So we got a growing area up there that can grow oysters faster and it's got better quality of meat in it than anywhere in the state, and this program denies them that. I'm going to leave it up to y'all. Come down here and make that request today, put y'all vote on today. As it is right here now, we're not going to get nothing. Thank you.
What is that? Tell me whether that's good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, we do get replenishment money. Obviously, we don't get as much as we have. I mean, so we get 50 cents back on the stuff that comes off public, not off private, and $100,000 was partly private. But because we are, in the first place, to start at the beginning, the Great Wicomico, I mean, we are in an agreement. And until we break out of this agreement and show that we don't think it's the right thing to be doing, we can't take a seat there. It's not worth the fight as it is. We're having meetings on that this spring to talk about the monitoring and where we are with oyster restoration in Virginia, and hopefully we can make some headway with that. Since we have lost all of our general funds, the little teeny bit that we get in the special fund from the taxes just helps pay our operating expenses to keep the truck going and the boats going, the fuel and things like that. I mean, I don't think we're averaging more than $40,000 a year in what we're actually seeing.
So, if the General Assembly gives us money, then we would consider what Mr.
Yes, Hanger I mean, if some money shows up, absolutely, but we wouldn't get it. We can't take it from the Great Wicomico.
Yeah, but the records here that you had showed that the when we planted oysters in the seed oysters in the tributaries of the Potomac, that they did very well.
Well, we had a bunch of bad ones there, and we had a couple of good ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the average was any better for the trips than the overall average. We had a couple of Avenue Comico that we didn't even get 50 orchards back for 600. So.
Thank you. Where are we now? We need the approval of the procurement. Request for approval 2010 Oyster Replenishment and the associated procurement procedures. Yes.
I'll make a motion that we approve it as it is, but with the hope that we will get some more money from the General Assembly at some time and we can make additions to it. But I will make a motion to approve it.
For a second. Second by Mr. Tanker. Further discussion?
I have a question.
Sorry.
It's been portrayed that pretty big growers is getting most of their money cleaning the grass and stuff. Is that the truth? Is most money
it's a out? Very it's a very small project actually, and it's counting on getting 1,000 bushels, I mean not even 500 bushels off an area, and because this year, I mean in some years we've done used watermen, and in some years we've done big boats. This year, because it doesn't look like we're going to have any work for those boats because we're not going to have any general funds, they tend to do a better job of cleaning these areas off because they can blow them off the deck like we do seed orchards, as opposed to shoveling them. I mean, and it's very hard for watermen to do that work still, shoveling for a dollar bushel that we can get it done with the big boats. And, you know, we're on limited funds, so we're paying a dollar bushel to catch them and carry them to another area and spray them off and transplant them. So. And we've put a limit that you got to be able to at least carry 1,000. And there's actually 6 boats around that can work for us doing that. So, but these are the normal boats we have that plant shell for us that don't have anything to do this year.
Watermen are in the same situation.
Yeah. I mean, they're hard choices on all of us. The
main difference is they're poor.
Yeah.
Further questions?
I have a comment.
Mr. Schick, then Mr. Robbins.
Yeah, I speak to this every time we talk about this, and there hasn't been a plan for what we can do. You know, I know there hasn't been money, but, you know, seems like we can work something out so we can figure out how to get something into these tributaries and on the Potomac. The Potomac doesn't set spat, and there's no way that we can get oysters there unless we put them there. And you know, I know we don't have any money from the state. You know, hopefully at some point in time, you know, we can get on our priority list so some of this federal money can come in and put, you know, some projects down, you know, into the Virginia tributaries and give these guys something to do. Because unfortunately, the Potomac, there isn't a governor or legislature we can go to except for Virginia and Maryland and get oysters put on the bottom in the Potomac. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But we can do that, and you know, when the funds come available, but it takes a plan, and I just hope somehow, and you can maybe enlighten me on some type of long range plan that we'll be able to get some restoration work done in the tributaries, because you know, the guys that I live and work with, they need something to do too there.
So. Yeah, I mean, I wish I had people lobbying with me on this. I mean, this sanctuary deal right now is the driving force in the entire bay. And unfortunately, Maryland has set a very bad precedent for Virginia now with the plan that they've come up with of taking about half of their areas and moving it to sanctuaries and saying, you know, we got all this area now, and you can give us money and we'll do all this work in sanctuaries for you. We have done actually a better job of holding up the Maryland hadn't put anything down now for seed or shell for 4 years. And we've been at least doing a little bit. And one thing that I skipped over and I forgot that we still have these crab disaster projects. It was in the program, and I'm sorry, I didn't talk about it. But we still have about $1 million there, and a very great amount of the people that are participating either with cages or spat on shell are on private grounds of crappers in the Northern Neck. So we are catching that process of actually providing larvae, letting them set them on private grounds, and to get into that situation where they can catch them when they want to. When you talk about harvest now to the funding agencies, you're a dinosaur. And right now, I'm the only dinosaur that's in there. So,
Mr. Rob?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to indicate my intention to recuse myself on this vote and not participate in some of the replenishment projects. Thank you.
Mr. Bowden?
Along those lines, you were talking about the KTAC for Colton's Festival, a bad disaster. Made me think of one thing. My cousin's in that, George Daniel Bag. He got cages last fall. He got bags in December. He's never seen a seed oyster. I don't really say that people are participating in it when they have nothing to participate
in. Well, we got everybody but seven. I mean, we got a late start, and we got everybody but seven guys down there, mostly on Seaside, because we didn't have a good seed for them that we felt comfortable giving it to them. And so they're going to get their seed in the spring. I got hackers that are producing them.
And the dates are going to be adjusted.
Well, there's no date. I mean, he's got everything. It's his.
All it said that you, whatever you didn't have grown out by a certain date.
No, we've extended those things. We had to extend it because we didn't get those. That funding didn't come in until August. And we just, the hatcheries couldn't, if they had the triploid Debbies and stuff like that on the shelf, for other people it was fine, but those are not necessarily good for Seaside. There's some different ones I'm going to try to get spawned for Seaside.
You'll find that exact same thing when you try to use the Seaside to purge the fibrillate from Hayside, which are going to die for that 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, we want to use Seaside stock crossed with the triploids for the Seaside grow out.
So. Motion made by Mr. Fox, seconded by Mr. Tanker to approve the procurement method. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Chairman,
yes, sir.
I just have a comment on the data, or a question for Jim on the data that he's presented here, which is unrelated to the replenishment. That's why.
All right, sir.
Jim, you gave us these data on spat in various areas, and of course the Great Wicomico is very dear to me because it's where I live. But I noticed that the Great Wicomico's spat count was pretty low. Despite the fact that we've had articles in the New York Times saying that we've got wonderful oysters in the Great Wicomico, can you comment on that?
I put it in just in case. Still wrong one. Well, that will work.
Go down one.
Actually, that one doesn't work because we actually have 2009 now, and it's got a bunch of things over here. Huh?
One right below what you've got highlighted.
Yeah, sorry about that, but there, 2000. This is where the Great Wicomico is right now, and everything that came out in the New York Times and Science and everything was talking about this year, 2007. And what we followed it since then, and this is where we are in 2009. And you can see that, just like we see in other areas, that this was all spat. I mean, they were spawned here. They were smalls here, so you can see the green is a small. So the majority of what's there is small. And then as they start to grow, you know, you get more market orchards, but the total standing stock is declining very quickly, less than 50% of where it was in 2007. And we have not had, we've had little spat sets to bring it back, but they've not been enough to determine what we're seeing.
Further questions? Thank you, Jim.